I want to be like a lifelong learner. I want, you know, to just learn from what to do, what not to do. You can always learn and you know, figure out what works for you.
Today on the Rising Coaches podcast, we got the opportunity to sit down at the Final Four in Phoenix with two coaches on the Buffalo women's basketball staff, including a pivotal member in the Rising Coaches community, Coach Erin Sinnott. Coach Sinnott and her story are very familiar with the Rising Coaches podcast, as we have had the opportunity to learn from her individually prior to. Alongside Erin is the current associate head coach at Buffalo, Coach J.C. Brooks. Coach Brooks has a great coaching history, helping programs excel such as Canisius College, Bowling Green, SUNY Cortland, and currently University of Buffalo, where they both helped lead the program to the conference championship this past year. Please welcome coaches Erin Sinnott and J.C. Brooks. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NVC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech.
We are here, Phoenix, Arizona, Final Four, with two women's Buffalo coaches. Okay, we have Coach J.C. Brooks, the associate head coach with Buffalo, as well as Erin Sinnott, the assistant coach with Buffalo. Ladies, how are we doing?
Doing very well.
Yeah?
We're
welcome.
Doing.
Thank welcome. You. Welcome. Go Bulls. Welcome.
Go Bulls.
Thanks for having us on.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely.
I know we obviously spoke with Erin a little bit, but Coach J.C., I guess both of you just go into a little bit about how the season went, you know, talk on some things, and then maybe some things that we always just kind of ask, like, what are some things that, of course, there's always things that you see after the end of the season, you're like, maybe I could have changed that, maybe we could have done that differently, and just kind of go from there.
I think as a whole, the season was very good. It was a little bit of a roller coaster. You know, last spring, there were some new staff members added. There were new players added. Mm-hmm. So to have everybody new coming in this summer was kind of just, you know, something different for the program. But we spent a lot of time together on and off the court, you know, getting to know each other. And then so, you know, when the season comes, we already have that camaraderie. And, a little bit of a roller coaster, but I think any team's goal is to be playing their best basketball in March, and I think that was the case for us. You know, we had a fun run in the conference tournament. You know, we were voted picked eighth in the preseason polls, and we played for a conference championship in the championship game. So really kind of thought it went well, and then getting that postseason bid into the WNIT.
When you got to that point where, like, you guys really started to get rolling a little bit, like, what was it? Was it like was it chemistry? Was it like, all right, we're sharing the ball more? Was it like we're making more effort plays? We're getting on the ground more, doing more dirty work? Like, what was it that kind of started that back end of the year? You know, where you sensed as a staff, like, okay, we're in good shape here.
Right.
Yeah, I think our team was really young, so we had a lot of freshmen playing significant minutes, and I think they were really starting to understand the college game. They were starting to understand the way people were scouting us. They started to understand that we might potentially know what we're talking about and to start kind of listening. And, you know, and that was a constant reminder of, like, you know, they're 18 years old. That was the constant, like, wow, like, they're literally 18 years old away for the first time and playing a significant amount of minutes for underclassmen. So we didn't have a ton. We had two seniors. I think they just started listening to us. They just started kind of really understanding the game. And I think, too, they started flowing together and really figuring out each other on that level, not only just from a teammate chemistry perspective, but then from just the college game and the new level. And in the MAC conference is a really, really, really high-level conference. So,
Yeah, I would agree with everything that Aaron said, and the fact of, you know, we have a really, really good player with Chella Watson. You know, today actually just came out. She was honorable mention All-America, you know. So
nice.
That doesn't happen a ton in our mid-major, especially in the MAC conference. So like Coach E had alluded to, that they finally got, you know, sharing the ball, and you know, she's a scorer, and kind of playing, you know, with when she had the ball, when she didn't have the ball, and things just started clicking, you mm-hmm. know. And then I think all of our players essentially have a little chip on their shoulder, and so kind of as that season progressed, and maybe you took some tough losses, you know, that chip became bigger, mm-hmm. And they wanted to play for each other and play for the staff, and then it created a fun couple of weeks.
You know, it's funny, like the one thing they need the most is the one thing you can't speed up. Right? Like, so you can't speed up experience because it's just got to kind of.
Absolutely.
It's like you got a 12-year-old and like, hey, just go through puberty tomorrow. It's like, no. Like, it's coming.
Right.
You don't know when, but it's coming. But that's like the one thing you can't speed up. Like, they have to get through it.
Absolutely.
And so as much as you want it to kind of like, all right, come on, let's right. go, ladies.
Right.
Like. It kind of has – they got to go through that ringer, and there's no way to really speed that up. You just got to help them manage their way while they're taking those lumps.
For sure.
Yeah, and I will say, too, like being – like Coach Brooks said earlier about like us being a new staff, I think our staff chemistry and how much we loved each other as a staff
yes.
really trickled down to our team, which I think was probably the most beautiful part of everything was just obviously going into – you know, you learn so much – I feel like you don't even call it year one, it's year zero. Like you're figuring, it's like below ground. Like you are figuring things out. You have no idea what's what, you know, you're just kind of trying to survive. And I think once we really like brought in the right people in, Coach Berg was very diligent and, you know, patient with who she wanted to bring in and wanted everyone for each player and wanted us to all be completely different. But I think that was the biggest thing too, was
yeah.
having all the right people and our like love for one another and our cohesiveness as a staff and our bond. We never like flaked. We never shook. We never like,
yeah.
we were the same every single day. And I think that was a huge trickle down effect, because that was like the constant and the what those young players needed is for us to show up every day for each
yeah.
other and then for them.
And they feel that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't fake it, mm-mm. right? It's like the kids and dogs thing. Like, you know, yeah. they can kind of sniff out, like, when it's legit and when it isn't. Like, you can't fake that.
Right.
So
yeah.
The hardest thing, too, is especially, like, of course, that starts with the head coach, right? Being on top of their game every single day. And truthfully, everybody always says, like, give 110% every day. That might be one of the obviously truest things, but like the hardest things to physically do, because not only do you have to physically show up, you have to mentally show up. And the hardest thing, especially when you got other things going on a day-to-day basis. And of course, I mean, obviously it speaks on you guys as well, being the associate, being the assistant, like person underneath, kind of keeping that head coach in line. And then obviously and one thing that we have heard a very common theme of, and you guys just said it, so I'm happy you said it,
yeah.
was it starts from the top and it goes all the way to the bottom. Everybody has to be completely aligned. If you're not aligned, you're never going to be successful or necessarily get to the point where you want to get. But I guess maybe talk a little bit about like how you two, as an associate, as an assistant, just kind of help work with your head coach to be able to make her day-to-day life easier.
Yeah. I think my role as an associate head coach is, when Coach Burke had contacted me last spring to come on board at Buffalo, I was a current Division III head coach. I had spent 11 years as a Division I assistant before going to the Division III level. And I was a Division III player, so I have an appreciation for D3 athletes. And something that she had mentioned to me was, you know, in that seat, she wants somebody who has been in her position before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I take a lot of pride in that. And there's situations where we collaborate, and I let her know how I would handle it as a head coach, you know. And she's very open-minded to that. So it creates a really good dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, always asking me for my input, my advice. She really values my opinion. So we kind of just work really, really well together. You know, and then obviously Coach Aaron and Coach James, you know, they're younger in the profession, but they're amazing. You know, you yeah. would never guess that they're new with what they bring each and every day. So it's kind of special. And something personally that I always like to talk about, that I try to bring to any program, whether as an assistant or a head coach or in my current role, is I'm a huge believer of a personality testing with the players. So Coach Burke actually allowed me to do that over the summer with them. Coach E and I came up with some programming, because I think it's so very important to understand that kids are different, right? You know, for example, I could coach you one way and you're ready to run through the wall and highly motivated. I say the exact same thing to you in the exact same way, tone, phrase, and you got tears in your eyes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think
it doesn't register.
right. Yeah. So it's like, you know, to understand, like, this is your natural personality, right? So as coaches, to know that, so we can ultimately put them in the best position to be successful. It's also very important for the players to know our personality as coaches, right? Mm-hmm. When we come in every day, it's nothing personal, right? It's just who we are. We're very competitive. We're this, we're that, you know? And then you have your other emotional kids or your emotional coach that their feelings, right, are very valued, and they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? Because that's just who they are naturally. So I do think it's something that I've brought, and I thought it, like, worked out well for the team this year with having that understanding.
You know, before Aaron goes, the thing that you – I know you know this, but, like, being a head coach is a lonely deal.
Yes.
So having lived that loneliness yourself, like, you just bring a natural empathy to the staff because, like, when your coach is having those moments, like, you can finish her sentences.
Right, 100%.
And so, like, that's the biggest thing you don't know when you become a head coach from being an assistant. Like, there are days, like, I got nobody to talk to. Like, there's crickets around here.
Oh, yeah.
And so to have somebody that gets that, like, I know you don't underestimate the value of that. You know it. Yeah. But that's a big, big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
For sure. Thank you.
I was just a sponge. I felt like...
No, you weren't. No, don't do. We're not buying that. Don't do that.
I was a sponge all season. No, I'm kidding. I was. I want to be like a lifelong learner. I want, you know, to just learn from what to do, what not to do. You can always learn and you know, figure out what works for you. I think having, like, JC, having James, having Becky, just our staff, like, our staff is so unique. In the standpoint of, like, we can just, like, hold each other accountable really well and also to understand, like, respect that JC has the experience she has, respect that Coach Burke has the experience she has, like, respect James's background. And then we all just kind of collaborate, and I think it makes us feel super safe to, like, I'm, like, a first-year assistant, and I have never felt, like, more empowered, and I want every single other young person. I talked to so many people yesterday at, like, our event in Cleveland, and
that's a word we've heard recently.
Yes.
Once or twice.
Yes. And so, like, I just want like everyone to feel that kind of psychological safety, and I think that's what made us better, because we were able to, like, be vulnerable in those situations and feel empowered, and, like, when something didn't go right, like, being able to go to JC, hey, how do I make it better,
or right,
Becky, like, what, how can I practice? Because at this point, it's reps, right? It's mm-hmm. knowing your people and who you're coaching and things like that. But then even too, just even like the most minor, like, it's just reps. Like, how do you present your scouting report? How do you vocalize all these things that, you know, because I'm a hooper. Like, I've been doing this. Like, I know basketball, right?
Right.
And so it's just all those little things that take time and they take confidence.
For sure.
But then to know that, like, she's not judging me when I say, like, pin down curl, like, you know, or I say the wrong thing, or, like, I'm going through the whole set wrong, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, just being able to look over and, like, your players, obviously you have eyeballs on you and the attention that, you know, is really nerve-wracking, but then to know that, like, the coaches behind them of my staff are like, you got this, like, keep, like, you're good, you got it, like, whatever. Yeah. And, like, when I do really great, hey, that was a really great scout, or if, like, hey, this little piece of, this is what we need to clean up today. Like, I'm constantly improving. Mm-hmm. And to, like, to just have that safety is just so unique and something that I'm, like, extremely thankful for. So
yeah.
I feel like I was growing with our players this year. Like, we had young players. I was a first-year assistant finding my voice and just figuring out where I fit in and when I needed to say something and when I kind of just wanted to sit back and listen to what was being said as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, you know, but practice isn't just for players. So what you learned this year is coaches need practice coaching. And to having a head coach and create an environment where, like, okay, Aaron, this is what I want, but use your paintbrush.
And they got to hear your voice, too. That's the one thing that I've learned, especially just speaking with people.
Players.
They gotta, right.
Players need to hear other coaches' voices. They got to hear your
voice because Absolutely. Every single day, like, you know, and I'll say this firsthand, you know, there's, like, when I played, I hear my dad's voice. You know. Like, you got hundreds of people in that gym screaming, and you hear that one voice just say something. You're like, it just stands out to you. But exactly to that point, an assistant coach, a head coach, whoever it is, you know that voice, and you're like, all right. Whether they look at you or not or show recognition that they heard you, like, that voice just kind of carries. Mm-hmm. So, of course, to get those reps in practice definitely is a big...
And I'll also add on, like, yeah. It was really a unique situation because I was the only, like, returner from the staff previously. So even to, like, having James and JC, like, come to me and be like, hey, like, you because you want to know your head coach. You want to know how they work and what works with them and, hey, how does she do this and stuff like that. And to kind of be in that, like... first year position, but then to have more veteran, yeah. like, you know, more rep, like older yeah. assistants come to me and ask me that. I felt like I, you know, they saw me, like they, mm-hmm. like they respected that and stuff like that. And so I felt like that was also a really like, hey, this is how she does it. But also like, ask her, like, go, you know, make it your own. Like, she's somebody that she's very collaborative. She's somebody that's very like, yeah. this is how we did it. But she's right. a very, very, very like, collaborative person, collaborative head coach. Like, she might love something that you've done somewhere else. And so I felt like, too, like, that me being kind of that returner, it was just a really, really, really cool dynamic and something that I think, like I said, ultimately yeah. was a full trickle-down effect to the success we had this season.
What's great for you is you're going to, you know, the freshman-sophomore jump that players make, right?
Yes.
So the single biggest word that you're going to feel inside yourself from this year to next year is conviction. Like, that word's going to be your buddy because, like, you step out and now you're ready to teach something. It's going to come out a little stronger next year. It's going to be said with a little bit more force, a little bit more confidence. Like, even just the things you do, the things you say and your guards big stuff, like, no. Again, like this year, you're like, hey, you know, let's run that back one more time. Like, no. Like, so it'll be just different. Like, conviction is going to cover everything that you do, and you can't possibly see that now because it's not next year yet, but just trust me, like, that's coming, and that I'm saying that as a good thing.
Absolutely, I agree.
And then the one thing too, I took this away from what both of you said is, whether as stupid as it may sound or not, when someone looks at you and like fully has your back, they're like, no, hey, you got you, Aaron, you were just saying the whole staff or players will look at you and be like, oh, you got this scout. I had one situation. I had a whole bad day prior to going to practice. I'm going in. I'm running the scout. My mind is 100 different places. And one of the players looks at me and goes, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. He goes, and he's like, you got this. I'm not kidding with you. I had chills down my spine.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sitting there. And then immediately my whole mindset changed. I'm like, all right. Here we go, and jumped right into it. But like I was on edge. So many different things were building up to that moment, and then I'm just like, okay. So every now and then, people even need to just hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminds me of the event that we had yesterday with the empowerment, right?
Yeah.
I had spoken a lot on how everything in life, especially around sports, we base it like on wins and losses, and it's easy to tell that on the scoreboard, right? Yeah, okay. Who wins, who loses, right? But there are different things in life, right, that don't have a scoreboard, you know? So that's where like the words of affirmation and confirmation comes into play, mm-hmm. you know? So even Coach Aaron and Coach James constantly, like, whether they had a drill, whether they had a scout, I was always like, hey, that was a really good drill, or, you know, that you presented really well, because I was in their shoes once, and you're just constantly wondering, like,
yes.
Did I do well? Like, did I make sense? And so when you hear that, yeah. like, I think it just helps you, and then that ultimately gives you that confidence to keep going, and there's your win, essentially. Yeah. So,
for or sure. when I did not do very well, and she was able to...
I was.
Here we go.
Be here very we go.
You know, like, once again.
But something you need, right? If yeah. we just keep telling... I mean, even as coaches, if we just tell our players they're great every game, we wouldn't have dropped. Like,
they're going to forget it.
Yeah.
So. Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it doesn't mean the same thing.
No, you went under on a effing ball screen against Caitlin Clark. You're an idiot. Like, right. No, I'm kidding. I would never say that. But, like.
No, but it's the truth-love balance, right? Yeah. Like, you love them enough to tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them the truth because you love them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're, and so, like, this is year 17. I just completed my 17th year of college coaching. So I've done a lot of scouts. I've done a lot of things, you know. So, and I know how good Coach James and Aaron want to be. And
right.
with her situation with the scouting report, just kind of pulled her aside and was like, hey, it was a great scout.
Yeah.
However, because I knew she would want to fix it, you know.
Yeah.
And we did. We worked. And
the word don't say the word
She said the word 72 times in her scouting report presentation.
Right.
But that's one of those things that stick with you too, because now you're listening to every word you say. Like, you know, it's a blessing and a curse at the same point.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
And the next scout, I went in there, I read that shit. It was the best personnel.
Right.
I boom boom. I was like, I wrote this shit. I watched the film. I watch all these games. Why am I saying Because I know.
Yeah.
I know this. Like, I watch the film. Why am I saying um? And so, yeah, but I didn't even realize it because it's like I'm not, you know, and so for her to like do that, and obviously we had built a relationship as well. So it wasn't like she, you know, was cool, Miss, I'm 17 years coaching, do me better. But like it was like we had had that relationship, and I had we've all verbalized as individual staff members on this team that we want to be the best version of ourselves.
Yes.
And we want to improve. And if I'm doing something that could be improved on, like, tell me. I want that.
Yeah. And so that's what I mean by next year. So as the conviction increases, the ums decrease. So just, you don't know yet, but it's coming.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of empowerment, touch on the panel that you were just, that you just had in Cleveland, and just take us through what that was about, how it went. You know, you sent us the pictures, so it looked,
well,
you know,
just to,
if
just
the pictures mess the event, it's...
I was going to say, just to preface it, because depending on when you listen to this, it would be the 2024, the women's Final Four was in Cleveland, and then obviously the men's is in Phoenix. But,
yeah
talk about the panel, talk about, you know, some of the things that you covered there, and then just kind of how that went.
Yeah, so even just, like, kind of to backtrack, I love doing something outside of just the convention, classroom, note-taking, everyone in their polos, like just something real, like chill, like take a breath. I feel like the best conversations, the best, your friendships are formed in just social settings, things where you're comfortable.
Right.
You know, the guard's down, right?
Yeah, it's not about checking the logo and, you know, sizing
you're
up.
Away,
and,
you're kind of away like, right. from everybody. Like, I love tequila, so we had a tequila sponsor. That helped. But just kind of the past 3 years being able to have the platform of Rising Coaches and being able to be the presence of Rising Coaches on the women's side and growing it there. And, you know, just like, you know, we need good coaches everywhere. That's the heart behind Rising Coaches, is good coaches pouring into those, you know, Rising Coaches, because they're going to then rise up and impact so many others. And we want to keep good coaches in this game. And so I think that was always like my heart behind it. And then being able to now be in my third year doing it, I wanted a panel that I felt like reflected what I felt like I kind of experienced, as well as what I feel like players and the generation is experiencing, of just like not a confidence issue, but like just being told like you got this, like you literally something so simple as like you got this,
yeah,
good, just those little simple things. I feel like there's so much comparison, there's so much what's this program doing, what's mm-hmm. this, what recruit is going with, like, you know, there's so much comparison that just the simplest of like stay in your lane, focus on what you're doing, like good things will come to you, stuff like that. So that was kind of my heart behind, like, I feel like when you are empowered and you, when I know JC, when I know Becky, when I know James are like confident in me, I'm confident in myself. But then that, like, when they empower me, like, I am my best version.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're your best version, you are a good person and a good coach and stuff like that. And so that was basically my heart behind just kind of like the panel I put together. So JC Brooks, associate head coach at Buffalo, was on the panel. I had Corey Urban, she's currently at Mississippi State as an assistant. I'm a Chicago girl. I actually grew up playing against her, Mac Urban Fire teams, and was scared of her until probably about 2 years ago. I'm someone who has built programs, has started over in programs, has been put in places, was an incredible high school coach, just someone that's worn so many different hats and has empowered so many young women in the mm-hmm. Chicago area and in Chicago basketball. Which is huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
We then had Erica Brown, who is an assistant at Fairfield. Someone who is, like, if you talk about a player's coach, like, she is a player's coach. Someone who I had a connection with working for Carly, being able to watch the way Erica has, like, blossomed working under Carly, who I know very well, like, absolutely incredible. Someone that just emulates, like, she empowers her players, and that's the reason why Fairfield cracked the top 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why Fairfield won 31 straight games and lost one and whatever and went to the NCAA tournament, like all those things, like because of the way that they empower each other and the way that they empower their players. Someone that, like I said, definition of all of that. And then Jose Fernandez, who has been in this business doing this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Someone I feel like in coaching is a unicorn, of has been at the same place since 2000.
Right.
And then too, I feel like all of those people, what all of them had in common, they've won championships. They're winners.
Mm-hmm.
They've built a culture. They have done that because they empower each other and they know how to empower their players. And ultimately, I feel like that is what, like, you could have a broke jumper and miss a couple layups. But, like, if you have a team that is empowered and plays together and a staff that loves each other and is empowered and plays together, that's when the good stuff happens. So that was my heart behind it. But, yeah.
Do you feel like, because we spoke a little bit about this leading up to the event, and you kind of you had your vision, you know, you had a clear idea with how you wanted it to go. Yeah. And this was the first year for doing that.
This is my third year doing it. Yeah. But this time I was kind of like the bird pushed out of the nest.
Right.
I was really on my own, kind of running it and doing it and being, you know, kind of like a sole collaborator, obviously with the help of like everybody, but it kind of being on me was the first year for that. Yeah.
How was the feedback after? Like, do you feel like people that attended?
Well, I think first and foremost, like when she that morning, because we obviously roomed together, you know, she looked at the RSVP and it was over 100 people. You know what I mean? So to have that event and have it such highly attended and well attended, you know, was great. And I think, like, even as a panelist, when I was up there, like, sometimes when you get in those, there's, you know, people talking, having their own conversations, and everybody was, like, in tuned, you know. They had to cut it short, but people were just asking questions, you know, sharing knowledge, and it was a really, really good environment, you know. Yeah. So kudos to E. I know she was stressed putting it together with, you know, how our season went and the length of it, but it really, really came together, and you can see people's posts on social media. Like, it was really, really well attended, and people enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now, one thing, it's such a big deal, like, you know, empowerment starts with the person. Like, it starts with you. And, you know.
Confidence comes within.
Yes.
You know, Coach J.C. Brooks.
Don't get me on my soapbox.
That phrase of filling your own cup, like, because you can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get yourself right and finding out, like, what gets me right, I have no chance to walk in and help an assistant coach or a staffer or a grad manager or the VC or the ops guy or lady or whatever it is. Like, if I don't get myself right, I'm coming in on E and I'm supposed to, like, empower somebody else. Like, well, you can't empower on empty.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
You've got to find, every coach has to kind of find what that is that kind of gets them back to, you know, full cup level. So now you can, because our profession is about pouring into and pouring out. But if you don't have anything to pour out, then, you know, people around you, you're going to suffer individually first, and then everybody around you just won't get a chance to be as good as you want them to be because you have nothing to give them.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I guess the last thing I would say is just, like, does anybody have any comments, any questions? Because, one, I mean, obviously right now, I will say this, and I know you two know this already, women's basketball has absolutely just through the roof. It's through the roof. And the funny thing is, if you go around and talk to people about it, you're like, you talk about the men's, and of course, it's a big thing, but then you talk about the women's, and I'll personally sit here and say I can name more women's basketball players than there are men's in the Final Four right now, individually.
Just check the ratings over the next few days.
It's
the ratings
insane.
will say it all.
Numbers talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, and it's truly been amazing for me. Like I said, I mean, I'm older, and I've been, like I said, coaching a long time. So when my first Final Four was in, 2007, it was? So
Sheesh.
To see where it was, I did find out that I actually attended the Final Four that my boss played in.
Wow.
In 2009, I was, you know, one of the young coaches in the profession, you know, attending the convention. And
30
here she
under
was
30 wasn't
playing.
A thing yet.
Yeah, 30 under 30 was not a thing when I was under 30. But, you know, you could literally go to one of the semifinal games. I'd buy it on, you know, StubHub for $10 and go sit in and watch those games. So, like, to see where it is right now in 2024 is absolutely amazing, you know.
So the average ticket price going off of that now, I don't know if you saw it recently.
Oh, yes.
Almost 1,000.
Yep.
For the worst ticket.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting because I think a lot of people, when they look into it, they're like, well, look at how many tickets there are for the men because they're playing in the football stadium compared to the women's. And they're like, well, maybe they need to move the women's to something bigger. I'm like, no, let's just keep it as it is. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's fantastic for our game.
We're still going to get just amount of view, just amount of viewers even on TV.
100%.
Yeah.
So I think it's very special, and to literally see it from the ground up to where it is, like, it just, it literally makes me smile.
Yeah.
And then too, we went to a clinic on Wednesday when we were in Cleveland, and Debbie Antonelli was speaking, who like, talk about pioneer.
Oh, she, absolutely.
In her own
Mount Rushmore.
Lane. Yeah. In her own lane. She said the first 50 years of title, help me Coach Tracy, the first 50 years of Title IX was investment. The next 50 years is
empowerment. No, I'm just kidding.
It's in my notebook. Anyway, something along the lines of the next 50 years is like investment. It's not investment. We're here. We gotta go. Build off of it. Don't drop the ball.
Yeah.
And even too, to speak on that, she was our 30 under 30 like host. She kind of puts it together and runs it. And when I was able to attend that last night, she kept it so real. I thought I was getting initiated into something. It was just that like very inclusive and intimate, and I thought I was gonna leave with like a brand. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, whoa, this is really cool. But just like how raw and real those coaches were, and how raw and real Debbie was with us, and she said, she looked us all in the eye, all 30 of us, and she was like, do not mess this up. Do not mess this up.
Wow.
She was like, you can do it. You have the tools.
For
sure.
You
have all of us around you. Lean on us as we're sitting in, like, you know, some of the best longtime assistant and head coaches in this business. 20, 30 plus year, you know, they're sitting there, coached in Final Fours, have done all of that, and for her to sit there and be like, do not mess this up, we are there,
mm-hmm.
It's gonna stay there, but it's on us, and
absolutely.
We need to feel that, and I think too, just like, we're gonna have to start telling our players like what Title IX is. Like, it's not gonna be something where it was like, oh, back then it was like Title IX is why we play, and now they're like, what's Title IX?
Right? Oh yeah, no, that's a team educational session in itself.
Right. But that's that's beautiful. In
absolutely.
The sense of,
no, those
like,
are good problems.
Yeah, I will never forget our girls and women's in sports day when I was at Minnesota. Lindsay Whalen said, this game means so much to me, and we were like, you know why? Blah blah blah, and she was like, we the only reason why the Minnesota women's basketball team plays in the barn now was because there was a water leak. When Lindsay played at Minnesota, she's not that old, and they had to play in the barn, and they packed it. And then that was the first time that a women's team played in the barn. And I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Are you serious? And so that for me, I was like, holy crap. But, like, I didn't even know that. I obviously know what Title IX is, but to know somebody and somebody that's not that old and to have experience playing in a girls' gym or having a women's gym or whatever, or being separated from that standpoint, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So shout out Debbie Antonelli and
awesome.
And all that. But I think, yeah, like, it was just, you know, we're really on the cusp of some really awesome stuff, and we have to love each other and grow the game and, like, you know, have really awesome coworkers that you trust and go to and ask questions. And, like, I am a proponent of, like, I don't know everything. I don't want to know everything. She knows everything.
No. Not even close. Not even close.
But if she doesn't know the answer, then she probably knows somebody that knows the answer. But I think that's, like, the biggest thing is I think we think we need to know everything and be on it and be on our A game and all of that. But, like, she tells me all the time, she's like, I've been doing this for so long. Like, you figure out how to do it and you mm-hmm. learn and you continue to learn and, like, each season, I'm sure she faced something this year that she'd never faced in her career.
But sure.
The amazing thing is, like, I've never felt like I've worked a day in my life. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just basketball is my lifestyle, and I feel lucky
and
blessed.
We're the biggest thieves and crooks
in the
world.
It's crazy. No doubt. You know, there's never a day where I wake up and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I do not want to go to work today. It's just, nope, you get up. It's time to go
absolutely.
To work. You know?
Absolutely.
So if it's even work, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah. No, I just want to say thanks. I mean, this is – Rising Coaches got better today because of you two. I knew the panel was going to go off great. So, you know, I just keep pouring into this, our game, I like to say.
Yes,
you know, cause
that is true, Alan.
These Final Fours kind of become, sadly, territorial
mm-hmm.
at times because the season's over, but people are still competing. So I'm like, wait a minute, season's over. What are we doing? Like,
Do you ever think we'll see a joined Final Four with men and women? Ooh. Do you ever think we'll see it?
I'm sure at some point. I feel
No, I think, yeah, just do back-to-back weeks or, you know, a day or two in between or whatever it is.
I mean, it's got to be
location.
But I will say, like, because obviously on the women's side, it's typically just Division I, right? On the women's side, they've also done Division I, II, and III at the same weekend. And I think it's such an amazing experience for everybody involved. Like, yeah. So if we someday could get it where it is, men and women, I think it would be really, really special.
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. But, yeah, thank you, guys. This was very cool.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and thanks for helping with my panel.
Of course.
Questions. Alan with the prep talk. He was like, oh, you got it. It's okay. The prep and pep talk. All encompassing. But no, you guys are great, and thank you for having us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coach J.C. Brooks, the associate head coach over at Buffalo, as well as Aaron Sinat, the assistant coach over at Buffalo.
Go thanks, Bulls. Ladies.
Thanks again.
Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches podcast for an additional $300 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.